Welcome to the From the Vine podcast. I'm your host, Bob Heifel, a reporter and writer of the From the Vine wine column for The Record in Stockton, California. I'm certified level 3 with the Wine and Spirit Education Trust and a part-time tasting room associate at the Lodi Wine and Visitor Center. I hope you enjoy this podcast, which focuses on the Lodi American Viticultural Area. I welcome your comments and reviews on our Facebook group page at recordnet.com/FTV209. And you can follow us at FTV209 on Twitter and Instagram. Reporter Bob Heifel with The Record, and it's great to have with us Allison and Bob Colarossi. They are owners of Estate Crush Winery in downtown Lodi, and we want to talk about several things with Allie and Bob, not the least of which is the Amgen Tour of California, which is about to begin in a couple weeks from the date that we are actually taping this podcast. But Allison and Bob were both instrumental in starting this race, which has grown into the second largest cycling race in the world, behind only the Tour de France. So it's a lot to be proud of. They're still involved with the race. We're going to talk about them helping get Lodi Wine on board as the official wine sponsor. And then we have a lot to talk about with their winery, Estate Crush. So always busy in your lives. We sure appreciate you carving out some time for this podcast. Thank you so much to both of you.
You're welcome.
Great to have you with us. And maybe we could start, Bob, if you don't mind, maybe talking about your involvement in the Tour of California through your work with AEG.
Sure. The Tour of California was kind of a mythical challenge for a long time. Many people had thought about trying to put a grand tour in California, and AEG finally decided it was time to do that. So I was hired in December of 2004 as the first managing director of the Tour of California, and we set out, put together a team, and built a race that, as you said, is now the second most sought after race after the Tour de France in the world.
And Allie, how did you kind of get involved?
Sure. Back at that time, I was working at Fleischmann Hillard in Sacramento, and a core team that I was part of pitched Amgen to help them figure out how to leverage their sponsorship of the race. We created Breakaway from Cancer, and the rest is history.
Wow. Can you talk about Breakaway from Cancer and why that was kind of the focal point of the tour or of the race?
Yeah, well, Amgen really wanted to find a way to connect with the community through its sponsorship, and Amgen develops vital medicines for people who are fighting grievous illnesses, and cancer is certainly a focus of theirs. And so we decided to create Breakaway from Cancer and bring in nonprofit partners to be able to give access to resources directly to people who are in that fight.
Wow. And Bob, what were some of the daunting challenges? And you have this idea. Now, that's one thing. You build a team. You made it sound kind of simple, but I know it had to be pretty difficult or just a lot to it, I would imagine.
Well, it was interesting because nobody knew what it was, and we didn't have any collateral materials. So I remember quite well going into Santa Rosa was my very first city pitch. And because the tour is made up by linking all these cities together. And we went in and we sat down with their tourism people and the assistant manager of the city. And they sort of just looked at me and said, "You want to do what? Are you bringing what to where? And who are these people? And I have a friend who's a cyclist. Can he ride in it?" And we went through the whole process of, no, this is a professional race. It's like the Tour de France. These are professional athletes. They're sponsored. And so the first year was tough because we had to explain who we are and what we were doing without the benefit of any collateral materials. We partnered with the state of California early on with then Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who helped us with the California Highway Patrol and the Department of Transportation, because part of the race in linking these cities is closing the roads while the riders are on them so their safety. Mm-hmm. One of the most epic challenges in the first year was closing Highway 1 from Monterey through Big Sur to Hearst Castle. And we closed it for 9 hours, and it was, I can't tell you how many meetings I had with the residents of Big Sur to explain what we were doing and mostly get them on board with it.
Wow. How did you do that? I mean, what did you say?
Well, we explained the benefits, economic benefits that the race would bring, you know, and we said, hey, on the night of the race, we'll fill every hospitality and lodging place that you have. The tour is a huge, huge amount of people and equipment that's moving. And I think it's up to now...
I think the traveling entourage is now 1,000 people.
Just for the race?
Yeah, just for
race support.
So the first year was 700-ish. Uh-huh. And so it was an economic benefit, and it also was a tourism benefit. We partnered with Visit California as part of this. And because we were producing a television show and a lot of the shots are from helicopters, we were able to really showcase the California seacoast and Big Sur and some of the places that are there, accommodations that are there, to really help promote tourism to that area. So after many meetings, we were able to get the ball across the finish line and and go.
Wow. That must have been amazing when it finally happened, that first...
You know, Bob just mentioned his first meeting race with Santa Rosa, and I vividly remember that stage in Santa Rosa that first year, not knowing what to expect, but we were all in Santa Rosa for the finish, and people were lining the streets. There was a parking structure that was just absolutely packed with people who had a fantastic view, and I think all of us who were involved on the production side just enjoy taking it in and being there as part of that experience, because it really came to life that day.
Wow.
Yeah, the first day of the race, we did a prologue, and we worked with then Mayor Gavin Newsom. And we actually closed the Embarcadero from the ferry street, from the ferry terminal, to the Tapakoi Tower. That was the route. There were over 200,000 people.
Wow.
That came out to see the beginning of the race, and it was just epic.
Wow. So Santa Rosa the second day?
Santa Rosa was the second day, and we were excited after the first day, but I remember being with Sean Hunter, who was president of marketing for AEG, in a car with him, and we were driving from Sausalito, where the start was, into Santa Rosa, and when we pulled into Santa Rosa, our car had access, and we drove the downtown route, and it was amazing.
Wow.
I mean, people just hanging off the rafters of the buildings, and parking garages with three levels just filled with people yelling and cheering, and it was unbelievable.
Wow. It had to be so cool to have been a part of it, and then to see that kind of reaction from fans. Did it kind of blow you away? Was it even more than you wildly expected?
Yes. I mean, the only other professional tour I had been to prior to this was the Tour to Georgia. And which the folks who were partnering on the production side ran that as well. And so I had gone to see their race. But the Tour of California was, you know, 10x what that was.
Right.
In year one.
Amazing. Yeah. So what were some of the kinds of things of outreach to kind of spread the word and get this thing kind of going, you know? Was that kind of your role, or the
breakaway from cancer stuff?
Well, we could do, you want to, whichever one you're more involved with or want to talk about more.
So on my side, it's always been breakaway from cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a different team that works on
the race,
public relations. But from the early years of Breakaway from Cancer, we always created a community event. It used to be a small bike ride on the course before the finish, and then it evolved into a walk and then a pep rally. This year, we're doing a small celebration at a dedication wall where people can write, memories or inspirational sayings for people who have been affected by cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that in Sacramento and Pasadena this year. But we always reach out to the local community and bring somebody in who has been touched by cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So each day we have someone who's a cancer survivor do the official race start.
Mm-hmm.
they get to be on the sign-in stage and interact with athletes and then fire the start gun. Mm-hmm. There's also a jersey that's the most courageous rider jersey that's awarded every day, and that's always presented by a cancer survivor as well.
Wow. So I'm sure you've heard a lot of stories from cancer survivors as a result of this involvement in the race. What has that been like for you?
Sometimes it's challenging.
Yeah.
It's always touching. Mm-hmm. I can't even count how many inspiring people I've met over the years. So it can be emotional,
right?
But it's definitely motivating. Keeps me coming back every year. So right. There's always something new and different, and it's nice to be able to meet and be inspired by people from throughout the state.
That's amazing. Lots of amazing stories out there of survivors, and that's really one of the great things, if not the greatest thing about this race, is that it is tied in with Breakaway for Cancer and mm-hmm. bringing those important subjects up, you know, into the public eye, which is a great partnership to have.
Yeah, it's the nonprofits that we work with provide so many great tools for people who are going through cancer, mm-hmm. and it's been great to be able to share that information and help people who maybe didn't know about the resources that are out there.
Right.
Yeah, one of the other things I think is really important to note too, and I won't say it's an unintended consequence, it was an intended consequence, but it's not often that people get to go to a world-class sporting event and see absolutely the best athletes in the world. And it's really not often that it's
right.
free. That's exactly what I was going to say, that it's free. And so it doesn't cost anything to go to the race. You can come out, you can bring your friends or children, you can have a little, you know, wine and cheese, whatever you want, watch the race go by and really get engaged and be able to see the impact that it has. And to see the Peloton go by at 27 miles an hour on a chase, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, and, you know, we started talking about how we got involved, but the race is actually how we met also.
Yeah, let's hear that story.
So I was part of the team as the managing director of the race that sold the title sponsorship to Amgen. And after we sold it to Amgen, they went back to Allie's group and then eventually awarded her the contract. And so when she needed assets, she had to call me
uh-huh.
and say, you know, today when you're, you know, on ESPN or the Today Show or whatever it was, make sure you say Amgen Tour of California. So mm-hmm. we had a lot of interaction because she needed, you know, all the hospitality, all that stuff came through AEG side back, all the logos and banners and
all that stuff, so
everything
much. Yeah,
so we interacted a lot, not as much as we do now since we've been married almost 10 years. But quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's how we first met. Uh-huh. And then
and it's, you said that I used to call and say, make sure you say Amgen. Well, that was the challenge at the beginning. And now people just call it the Amgen,
yeah.
and the challenge is making sure people understand what Amgen does and that they're a biotech company and that the race is the Amgen Tour of California.
Right. That is a good question. What does Amgen do?
Amgen is a biotech company.
Okay.
They make medicines that help people who are fighting grievous illnesses.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
cardiovascular yeah. disease, uh-huh. Cancer, neurological issues.
Right.
So they're...
Right.
Team of scientists working
yeah.
hard.
Wow, it's amazing. How long did you work? You were with the public relations firm out of Sacramento, but the company is based in San Francisco?
Or Fleischmann Hillard is based in St. Louis.
In St. Louis, mm-hmm. okay.
With offices all over the world.
All over the world. Mm-hmm. It's the largest of a company of its kind, mm-hmm. correct, in the world? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And I was at Fleischmann Hillard until 2008. It's all blurry. I think it was 2008, so uh-huh. the first couple of years of the race. And then things were restructured a little bit with Amgen, and I was hired by AEG to continue doing what I had been doing with the public relations side, but also to manage the Amgen relationship and all public relations activities.
Okay.
So I now work for the company that owns the race.
Gotcha. And were you still at Amgen as well when, I'm sorry,
no,
AEG?
At AEG, no. I had left almost at the same time. It was a real crossover because it was at the end of '08 that my contract was up. Mm-hmm. And that's when we decided to start Stay Crush in the spring of 2009. Mm-hmm. So Allie transitioned back to working at AEG. I transitioned out of AEG. Uh-huh. And here we are.
Was that when you moved to Lodi? Or had you been here prior to starting a Stay Crush?
I had been living here. I actually moved here when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
And then I was gone for about a decade.
Uh-huh.
College and early career.
Right.
But I've been back since 2001.
Okay. Right.
And then you moved here...
End of 8.
Mm-hmm. Ish.
6, 7, 8. Yeah. Middle of 8.
Yeah.
I took a couple of winters to snowboard in Truckee.
Nice.
And, but I was, and we were basically living together by then, but I was living with Allie during the summer in Lodi and then up in Truckee in the winter.
Doing the snowboard.
And doing consulting in sports. Okay. You know, it's, so, yeah.
Maybe you could talk a little bit more about, you know, your background, other jobs that you've had, because it's pretty interesting, I think. I think it's
what
you've done.
I was a collegiate gymnast and then a coach. I actually coached athletes for the U.S. national team, some big competitions, and started running events. Eventually, I got pulled in to be the CEO of the Massachusetts Sports Partnership, which bids on and attracts events to come to the city of Boston. Mm-hmm. Well, the state of Massachusetts, but the city in particular.
Right.
And anything like the figure skating championships, the world championships for short track speed skating, I ran once. Mm-hmm. Obviously, gymnastics I had a close tie with. We ran the Olympic trials there a couple of times. And through that, I became close with the folks at USA Gymnastics and ultimately was hired as the CEO of USA Gymnastics. And I ran that sport for 2 Olympics, for Sydney and Athens. And then right after Athens was over, I was contacted by AEG and offered the position to come create the Tour of California and also to create and open the David Beckham Academies in London and LA. So I kind of ran 2 divisions for them and did that for a few years.
Wow.
Then we transitioned into line and we're still involved with the race. And it's funny how it's all come back around. We've brought the tour, I wouldn't say we, Lodi, brought the tour to Lodi twice.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, the first time we were a finish city, and then we were a start city. And so, and they're talking to us again. They want to come back again. It's we're so busy. It's a lot of work. So we'll have to wait and see. But they're this weekend when the race starts. It starts on Sunday. I know I'm going to see the people who are in charge of recruiting cities, and I'm going to be square.
Oh, and yeah.
You're going to be right in their crosshairs.
Right in the crosshairs on this. So, but it's been a really fun event, really nice people to work with.
Yeah.
And it's also great that we were able to help Lodi come involved with the race in another way, which was last year, Allie and I worked with the folks at AEG as well as the Lodi Wine Grape Commission, and were able to secure the wine sponsorship for the wines of Lodi. And it's been an amazing, amazing exposure. I mean, this race is seen by 4 billion people a year. And so we put together a group of partners, which right now are Michael David, Lang Twins, Clinker Brick, and Estate Crush. And we all put together wine that they can use in hospitality and at different events. And in exchange for that, we get commercial units in the broadcast. We get all kinds of banners and billboards on the website, and just tremendous exposure for the Lodi wine brand.
Right.
Kind of culminating every day at the end of the race, whoever wins that stage of the race is presented on stage with a 3-liter bottle of Zinfandel that says in bold letters, "The Wines of Lodi."
Mm-hmm.
And it's on camera every day.
Right.
So it's really been a great a great event for us personally, and I think professionally, and now for Lodi as well.
Absolutely. So NBC is the broadcast partner with this event.
Yes.
NBC Sports Network, and then all of their streaming services, I guess, and online.
Yeah, so NBC Sports Network for the first 6 days of the race, and then the final day is broadcast on NBC proper. Mm-hmm. And then the race has what's called the Tour Tracker, so people can follow along online.
Right.
And that is actually something you worked on at the beginning also.
Yeah, when I was at USA Gymnastics, we meddled a little bit with internet broadcasts. We were really at the beginning of it when it was first happening. This would have been right around 2000, 2001. We actually partnered with NBC to do the first real broadcast that Dick Ebersol did over the internet. Mm. And then we started producing some of our own events. And so when we got to time to put the tour together, I wanted to have a mobile function where people could follow the race, because we wanted to change the way cycling was seen. Mm-hmm. And not just a picture of a tire on a road spinning around and around, but get more into who the athletes are and be able to tell stories. And to do that, you need time, you know, depth and breadth. So we were able to put the Tour Tracker together in a partnership with Google, Akamai, and Adobe. We did it 30 days before the first race, and it was a scramble beyond. I don't even know how we did it. We had an old small RV that I think had coat hangers sticking out of it that somehow we were able to communicate to the helicopter and get the broadcast online. And it cut out a lot in the first year. Uh-huh. Now it's a very, very, very tight piece of technology.
Right.
And it allows people to follow instantly.
And we should mention that Stockton is going to be a starting stage for Stage 3 this year and has hosted, I think, a starting stage 2007, I want to say. Mm-hmm. I get my years all mixed up.
It was the second year of the race, yeah. 2007.
Right. And I remember Lance Armstrong was here.
Yeah. And then another time in between as well.
Yes, right.
The years all blur together.
I know.
After a while.
It's so remarkable, yeah. So the race has really had great presence here in San Joaquin County between Lodi and Stockton. It's really kind of, you know, not synonymous, but I mean, we've had really good presence here in this area. When you consider the entire state and where we are, that's really been great for the residents and sports fans, cycling enthusiasts, and everybody here, you know.
Yeah, and it's been great to see how the community here in Lodi has embraced the race. Mm-hmm. And even in years where we're not a start or a finish, they commonly ride through. And the different growers organizations, whether it's the Lodi District Grape Growers or the Lodi Wine Grape Commission, will put together watch parties out on the road. They'll bring out all their ag equipment with signs. Mm-hmm. and cheer the riders on as they go by, and gets picked up on television. And again, it's another way just to kind of promote Lodi and promote what's going on here.
How involved are you both now still with the race? Do you have any involvement through AEG?
I do. I'm incredibly involved still. It's a very busy time of year. I travel the entire race route and work with Amgen throughout the week.
Wow.
Not only on Breakaway from Cancer, but the new Breakaway from Heart Disease initiative also.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Allie leaves on Friday. Uh-huh. And she's gone until the race is over.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
And my involvement really is just on the wine side down.
Okay.
And holding down the fort here.
Yes. Holding down the fort here at Estate Crush and at our house.
Yeah.
And while Allie's gone, so.
Can you tell us about the Breakaway from Heart Disease? That's new, you said?
Yeah, Breakaway from Heart Disease started in 2016. Mm-hmm. And it's basically an initiative to encourage people to know about their heart health and to make good, healthy, active decisions. Mm-hmm. And it has a presence also with the race, like Breakaway from Cancer does. It's a partnership with the American Heart Association and the FH Foundation, as well as Schwinn. And we'll have community events for Breakaway from Heart Disease also in Sacramento and Pasadena. We'll have a few spin classes at both of those venues. And then at any Finnish city, Breakaway will have a presence where people can get information about both organizations.
Great.
And this year also we launched for Amgen the Breakaway Challenge, which is basically a social fitness challenge. It's on Strava. Do you know Strava?
No.
It's a online social fitness app.
Okay.
So like if you're an avid runner, uh-huh. you usually would track your run on Strava or cyclist.
Okay.
You can also track walking on mm-hmm. the run app. Anyway, there's a challenge that we launched on May 1st, just last week.
Great.
And our original goal was to achieve 400,000 miles on this challenge, and Amgen would then in turn donate $400,000 to the nonprofits who are affiliated with Breakaway. Well, we launched it with a campus event last Wednesday, and before the event even started at noon, we had reached our 400,000
wow.
goal.
Social media.
Wow. Yes.
So
right.
it's
so powerful.
It's off to an amazing start. Oh, it's a 6-week challenge. So I think now we're hoping that we're going to get to 40 million miles by wow. the end of the 6-week challenge.
That's great. Golly. So could that be $40 million going to nonprofits as a result?
Probably not.
But a nice sum of money, for sure.
It's amazing, though, that even just the awareness around it. Mm. And it'll be fun to see people connect with that wow. at the race and learn more about the challenge and see the numbers grow even more.
Is there anything else going on this year that you're excited about that might be different from past years, or just something that you enjoy every year about the race and being involved?
I enjoy seeing it come to life
yeah.
in every community. I'm usually at every start and every finish.
Uh-huh.
And so to get to be with the survivor who's doing the start
yeah.
is usually a fantastic experience
right.
and just a really neat way to start the day and see
yeah.
the riders head out.
Right.
And then I jump in my car and drive to the next site. And sometimes I'll call Bob on the way and say, oh, it's a long transfer. And then I think, wait a minute, the professional athletes are riding their bikes, and I'm complaining about driving my car. But then it's fun to get to the finish city and connect with the locals there and,
yeah.
and see that next community come to life.
Oh,
so,
fun.
Yeah.
And what's really crazy about cycling that I didn't realize, not having come from the sport,
uh-huh.
is the speed at which they travel.
Mm.
They average 25 miles an hour.
Wow.
Average. So all of us could get on a nice bike like they have and get that bike up to 25 miles an hour. Probably for about 10 seconds, unless you're an avid rider and you do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
And they average it the whole time.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. Up,
yeah,
down. Some of these climbs are just epic.
Mm.
And really, it's awe-inspiring to see them perform that way.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, it's great to know that in our area, we have two people who are, at the genesis of this very important, much anticipated event every year, and it's come through Lodi and Stockton, and it's been great. So thank you for providing that for all of us. And maybe we could talk now about your winery, Bob. You said around 2008 or so, if my memory's correct.
Spring of 2009.
Okay, spring of 2009. So why on earth wine of all things?
Well, we were already making wine and living on a vineyard ourselves, and
we were making a little bit of wine at home
here in Lodi.
Uh-huh. And I was still consulting, and we met another couple that were interested in trying to create something like this, not exactly this, but something like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we partnered together and saw some negative space in the wine industry, and that was that there were at the time maybe one other winery that was doing high-end small lots, so small volume lots.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the custom crush places would have a 10-ton plus up requirement. We decided to come into the market with a minimum 1 ton.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows people who had dreams of having a brand or a winery to kind of dip their toe in an affordable fashion, and allowed us to bring in all the resources, all the infrastructure, so they didn't have to invest.
Right.
And there's a saying in the wine industry that it's easy to make, but it's hard to sell.
Uh-huh.
And our goal was to take away the stress of making the wine. We can follow their protocols and work with them to make the wine finish exactly how they want it, but at the same time, allow them time to spend focused on selling it.
Mm-hmm.
And these last 10 years have been a blur.
Yeah.
I think we made last fall 145 different wines.
Wow.
We now have between, on the year, 60 to 80 clients. all over the United States.
Really?
It's not just here. We sometimes do distance tastings, on FaceTime or Skype or WhatsApp to finalize a blend for a client that's in Florida or Chicago or whatever. So it's been interesting. It's been great to get to know the ag community here because the people are so nice. It's, growing up in Boston, I love Lodi. I love the people. I love the thread, the fabric of who they are. And it's been a fun ride.
Great. Yeah.
No pun intended.
Well, let's plug your tasting room where people can come here and try many of these different wines that you make. Mm-hmm. Your tasting menu changes, I think, monthly, but there's always a lot of choices.
Yeah, so we have 88 wines in the tasting room. They represent about 30 different brands, and the menu does change every month. We have 16 wines on the menu, and a tasting doesn't consist of all 16, but rather five. Uh-huh. But it's really easy to find a wine that you like here because there's so many different choices.
Right. And when is it open?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 11 to 5.
Okay. And it's at Lockford and Sacramento Streets, just kind of on the edge of downtown Lodi. It's a beautiful space, and it's just a really fun place to come. So please make a point of visiting Estate Crush. And if you're fortunate enough to say hi to Bob and Allie and their great staff here. So thank you all so much for your time. This has really been a pleasure. And again, congratulations on all of your success with the Tour of California and with Estate Crush. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.